Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome into the Lions 24/7 podcast. Hopefully you're catching us live. For the first time, we are actually streaming live here for a signing day special. It's the 2022 recruiting class here in December, early signing period. 23 different players putting pen to paper, finalizing plans with the Nittany Lions. Nearly half of that group will be on campus in just a matter of weeks for the spring semester and winter conditioning and all that. But Sean, a lot to go through. A couple players not on this list who are on it in the morning in terms of commits. Ultimately, Penn State right now at 7 p.m. in the evening. I've got them situated at number 6 nationally, number 2 in the Big Ten among national recruiting classes.
Yeah, number 6 right now. The dust has mostly settled. For those of you getting to go in and, you know, or just getting to this, the early signing period is open for a couple of days. Then it's going to shut for the dead period for December. But everything pretty much happens on the first day. There'll be a couple guys that maybe secretly sign and announce during January's All-Star games, but that's not a Penn State thing. Jason Away did it a couple of years ago. Devon Ellis did it a couple of years ago. But it really hasn't, it's not going to affect Penn State this time around. So what you see is what you get. 23 commits, number 6 in the country right now. Very interesting that they're number 6 right now, because I had them falling to, you know, the 8-9 level based on other schools making crazy moves and stuff like that today. But you look at the schools behind them, I'm probably getting this out of order, but Notre Dame, Michigan, North Carolina should be set for the early signing period. That might be something that changes in January or something like that. Oklahoma's back behind at number 10, I believe. That's probably going to be one of those schools that moves up based on a coaching change, bringing in Brent Venables. For the most part, Penn State sitting at 6 is pretty good news. All the calamity and everything above them is really what, you know, is crazy with Texas A&M, with Georgia, with Alabama sort of distancing themselves from everyone. And then, of course, Ohio State's just above Penn State. Not a ton of action for the Buckeyes today. But being at number 6, man, we said this on the podcast earlier this week. We said it this morning. We're going to say it to you a million times. James Franklin and his staff, really, really terrific job pulling this class together, especially considering all the circumstances.
And this was a group that started back in July of 2020 in the kind of the deepest, darkest days of the COVID-19 pandemic, when we weren't sure when players would get to campus. And ultimately, it turned out that Caden Saunders would have to wait about 10 months till he could come to Penn State formally, go to team facilities. But that's the kind of cycle this was. And yet, as Penn State goes 4-5 along the way and then follows that up with 7-5, somehow, some way, losing their defensive coordinator on the brink of signing day, they get to the finish line. And there's two guys who aren't part of this class. We're going to go through the group that did sign, but a couple that were not on this list at the end of the day, that were on the commit list in the morning. Let's address the Andre Roy situation first, out of St. Francis down in Baltimore. Sean, this was a very precarious situation down the stretch. Visited Southern Cal and new head coach Lincoln Riley over the weekend. Maryland was in play. You had mentioned that a couple times. I know you and Brian Doan talked about it this morning, and ultimately signing with the Maryland Terrapins, and it's over.
Yeah, it is over. Sorry, I had some mic issues there in the first time around. That's my fault. It was coming through the AirPods for some reason. This one, not a surprise that he didn't go to Penn State. We put our notes up this morning, thought he was going to USC. And, you know, that was something we picked up from our Penn State people, that we thought it was going to USC, just USC West, not South Carolina, which we'll come into the story a little bit later. Flips to Maryland. Maryland's made a habit of making these late signing day pushes and things like that. It's become a staple of what Mike Locksley has done. In fact, they have a lot of their success. Most of their success comes on signing day. And then Roy was not the only one from St. Francis. A couple of hours later, Jay Sean Barham flips from South Carolina. And then a few hours later, when Shane Beamer's asked about that, that he had some interesting things to say, because he was talking about when they got the call from Jay Sean Barham on Saturday. He got a call about 10 minutes later saying, hey, this is all ruse. They're going to commit to Maryland. So wasn't all that surprised when it happened today, but that makes you think, especially with Andre Roy, when you talk about what he did and how he committed to Penn State back in September. I remember I was out in Wisconsin at the time and away from things, and it just kind of came out of nowhere. He committed to, basically he said, I'm committed to Penn State on the internet. Didn't call the staff before he did it. Didn't have a staff edit, which is kind of become the gold standard for what you would look for in a in an official commitment, things like that. Then we heard he went to Maryland a couple days later. So with the benefit of hindsight, you're feeling like maybe Penn State got played here too.
Yeah, maybe this recruitment, at least the relationship as it stood between Penn State and Andre Roy, should not have lingered into this stage of the cycle. Perhaps it would have been best for a parting of ways at an earlier stage. But Penn State is where they are in terms of the offensive line class. We're going to get to it in a moment, but this is going to be an area that they continue to explore in the transfer market. We've already seen a new offer go out at this stage, a couple actually on the offensive line. But in terms of who else is missing, and that was such a bizarre circumstance, and the St. Francis duo, as things circulate, they're going to take some heat there. The coaching staff's going to take some heat there. You're going to be curious how that maybe impacts the way their players are recruited, or whether other coaching staffs are going to need to clear the air moving forward down there. But that aside, a school that we're familiar with here is Lackawanna College, and producing one signing today, JB Nelson, who just got bumped up to four-star status on 24/7 Sports last week. He's in this class. He played at tackle for them last year, Lackawanna, but one of their safeties, and you've heard this before, Lackawanna safety making his way to State College. Tyrese Mills has been committed since May. He did not sign today. Had a chance to catch up with him a bit this afternoon, and Mills confirming something that, Sean, you had reported a bit earlier this week. Some academic things need to be cleared up. Some of those need to be reexamined between now and February, which is a traditional signing day, that first Wednesday in February. And for all intents and purposes, at this moment, Tyrese Mills fully committed to signing on that Wednesday in February with Penn State. They would add a guy that they offered very fast after his first junior college game. There's obviously a lot of trust and a track record in place between that Lackawanna staff and this Penn State staff. And then you factor in that Deion Barnes, an assistant on this defensive staff with the Nittany Lions, was the defensive coordinator at Northeast High School when Tyrese Mills was playing there. And you have Ken Talley coming in from Northeast. So there's a lot of track record there, a lot of history. And you just hope for Tyrese Mills' case, a guy that has really worked his way into getting this Power 5 opportunity, following the footsteps of Jaquan Brisker, Jair Brown. But he's got to get some things in order. And if not, you know, come February, he'll have to shuffle his expectations a bit. And Penn State may be in the market for another safety, although a little more clarity on what that position room is going to look like here coming out of today.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, the hesitation is on Penn State's end. It's not on Mills' end. Mills wants to be at Penn State. He's got some things to take care of. So, you know, if you're Penn State, and explain this on the podcast this morning with Brian Doan, if you sign him and you don't take him, you lose one of your initial counters. And those things are valuable right now because they count for scholarship guys you're bringing in, potential transfers and things like that. So cost yourself a scholarship without using a scholarship is obviously something you want to avoid. So Mills is going to keep working. He's going to keep trying to figure out how he can get here. He wasn't coming in January anyway, but how he's going to get there next spring. And I think that's something to look for in the long haul there. You mentioned suddenly we have a little bit more clarity in the defensive backfield. It's because Makai Flowers and Christian Driver, two guys that we've been stumping for as potential defensive backs that were, I guess, recruited as wide receivers, they have, you know, I don't want to say it's both of those guys, the ceiling is higher on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think there's any question about it in my mind. I know, you know, these guys have wanted to play offense. Everybody wants to have the ball in their hand, but can be solid receivers. I think can be great safeties. So you add him to KJ Winston, who, you know, if you follow the show at all, you know, I love KJ Winston. You know, that's all of a sudden a really good safety class. You know, it'll be interesting to see, and Terry Smith said this afterwards, potentially starting Christian Driver at corner, potentially, I think James Franklin said, starting KJ Winston at corner to work those guys in, get them coverage skills, sort of like they did with Zakee Wheatley, although Zakee Wheatley might stick at corner. So some interesting, I don't want to say death pieces, but interesting numbers games played there in the defensive backfield.
they are quite enamored right now with this length at cornerback. I mean, you have everything you could want in that department with Joey Porter Jr. right now at cornerback, but that's really where James Franklin went to with KJ Winston. Look, they think he could play that nickel corner spot. They think he can play safety, but you know, part of their imagination, James Franklin admits, that maybe he could play cornerback, and why wouldn't you take a long look at that situation, especially if you're going to get this guy in a spot where he's getting a lot of practice reps and you may not need him to play in games right away. Although in the case of Winston in particular, and I see we have a question here from Ryan about who can make an impact on the defensive side of the football right away. I'll just throw this out. James Franklin, in referencing both KJ Winston and your guy, Sean, denied Dennis Sutton, saying, even though they aren't early enrollees, have the ability to hit the ground running, play football for this team in 2022. I thought that was quite the thing because James Franklin, he's very cautious to talk about who's going to play football 9 months from now when he's discussing a bunch of high school players. But he talked about Denai and KJ both having that opportunity, despite the fact that they're showing up after those 15 spring practices.
Well, I think that says something about the positions that they have on campus right now. Defensive end, we know, has been thin. You know, you're going to lose Arnold Ebiketie. You're going to lose Jesse Lucchetta. So you need guys to step in there, and they're probably going to have to hit the portal to find a pass rusher there. I think that certainly goes into it. Denai is 6'5", 250. He's built like a Greek god. I mean, he's really put together for an incoming freshman. And I think that the hesitation there is that he just hasn't played a ton of football in the last 2 years. Got the junior year wiped out by COVID. And, of course, this year dislocated his elbow. So would like to see him have a few more reps under his belt. But I think he's got the talent to do so. I think he's able to do so. And then you look at safety. You lose Tyler Rudolph and Enzo Jennings to the portal. Jaquan Brisker is going to go pro. You're planning on having Jair Brown back. You're planning on having Keaton Ellis back, and Jaden Reed did a really good job this year as a true freshman, but you always want to have four. So could see one of those guys popping in there. If Tyrese Mills isn't able to come in and step in right away to that two deep, that's an opportunity for somebody to step up.
Yeah, we'll be watching that one closely. And by the way, in terms of guys, where do they see themselves? It sounds like there was more convincing involved with Christian Driver about the defensive plan, whereas Mekhi Flowers maybe always leaning towards defense personally. Coming out of these conversations today, maybe a little bit of convincing, but ultimately Christian Driver gave up that decision, put it in the coaching staff's hand. And as Franklin noted, in the case of both Christian Driver and Mekhi Flowers, keep an eye on them for special teams return roles. And keep an eye on them still on offense at receiver, he said. And yeah, we did just see Marquise Wilson do a little bit in game action at cornerback and receiver. He finished the year on the practice field focused on defense, but at least they can say they've done it before in these conversations now, Sean.
I don't want to step on you, but I think if you're looking for an early impact, it's probably going to be the offensive side of the ball. And it's a good question from Ryan, but like I see more guys on offense being able to step in and play, and that's a combination of the positions and some of these guys, you know, have a ways to go. I mean, I love Abdul Carter, but I don't think Abdul Carter is ready to step in at linebacker right away or as an edge rusher right away and get going. So some of these guys might take a little bit of time to build them up a little bit, but we'll see. And I think that's why, you know, you look at the portal and say that's probably where your early impact guys, quote unquote, are going to come from.
And it sure would be big to get denied Dennis Sutton coming in and play at a level where you can trust him in some kind of a two deep a role by the time Big Ten conference action is upon you. Because James Franklin said this, he juxtaposed against a lot of the guys that Penn State has brought in, a lot of the types of guys they brought in. He said, this is not some kind of undersized defensive end that you're going to have to bulk up and do all that before you get to the field. They feel like he could play anywhere in the country. He happened to pick Penn State. Maybe there isn't that big sample size documented because of what happened as a high school upperclassman. But James Franklin is describing the kind of defensive lineman that Penn State hasn't come across very often during his time here, and the kind of guy that is pretty rare, really, across Power Five football.
Well, Alabama and Georgia wanted him. What else do you want to hear?
Right.
You know, it's just that's the biggest win of this cycle. When you take into account when these guys committed, what they were doing, and I think Nick Singleton's right up there as well, but Denai and Sutton took official visits to Alabama and Georgia. That means they wanted him. They came after him very hard, and Penn State was able to fight them off. And I don't know if I can, you know, if I can translate how impressive that is, because Penn State doesn't win those battles, and they did that this time.
Someone asked, does Singleton become running back one day one? We haven't even talked about the quarterback spot. Of course, number one quarterback in our rankings at 24/7 Sports, Drew Aller signing today. He was the first name revealed as signing with Penn State. But in terms of this question, I think he's got a chance here. I wouldn't rule him out. Nick Singleton has been in communication with Jaywon Sider, as you'd expect, with this Penn State staff. And what they're telling him is, come here, work, get the job. And Nick Singleton will have a jump start on that coming in January, but so will Catron Allen. I think Penn State feels like they've got the best running back tandem class in college football. If you heard from Cooper Patagna on our recent podcast here on Monday, national recruiting analyst here at 24/7 Sports, he basically echoed that sentiment. And Catron Allen's going to come in. And by the way, Sean, getting to the finish line with Catron Allen, that was kind of one of those storylines that we weren't quite sure, maybe something that was a bit unresolved down the final stretch. So a big finish for them with Allen. The question here is about Singleton. I think either way, you shake up the room. I don't know who's leaving it. I can't imagine it remains intact as it's currently constructed. You're going to lose John Lovett, but I have to imagine there'll be other movement. And I'll give both these guys a shot to exit spring with the momentum they would need to be factors day one of the 2022 season.
I mean, I think he's got a shot. He's got spring. But if you look at what, and this is an unfortunate comparison that he's going to see a lot, Saquon Barkley got one carry in his first game. So it's really tough for me to say that somebody's going to step in and be running RB1 right away. Singleton's incredibly talented. Physically, he's as ready to go as any running back since Saquon. But I just have a tough time seeing or just crowning a starter. I think he could be the type of guy that, by the end of September, by the middle of October, might be your RB1. But I just have such a tough time forecasting a true freshman as being a starter right off the bat. But he does have that spring to work with, which I don't believe Saquon had.
He's the first Gatorade National Player of the Year, and Saquon Barkley broke that news to him on Tuesday. Congratulations to him. Just a fantastic season. Sean, he scored once every 3.8 touches as a senior in high school, and the numbers are fantastic. Yeah, but it's going to be fun to follow throughout the spring, and, of course, in that quarterback room, that's where a lot of the focus was today. Bo Prabula getting some spotlight, but dominating the spotlight as he has for some time in this Penn State recruiting class is Drew Aller, our number one quarterback in 24/7 Sports rankings, the number three overall prospect, and a three-time guest of this podcast who joined us just last week and followed through. It was pretty darn drama-free considering you had Sean Clifford coming back and you had a situation where, you know, Penn State didn't play its best football. This kid got the Ohio State offer. He lives a couple hours away. Wasn't working out with Quinn Ewers. This one could have gotten messy. It didn't. And that's a testament, in my opinion, to Aller, his family, and the Penn State coaching staff.
Yeah, they really did a good job locking this one down. And I'll say that about the whole class. There really wasn't much drama at all. You had Jordan Allen decommitted because he took an official visit to Ole Miss. He signed with LSU today. So good for him because that's where he wanted to be all along. That's where his family, big LSU fans. So happy for him to end up where he wanted to be. And then Andre Roy today. And that's pretty much it. So you look at what the Penn State staff was able to do through the pandemic and coming out of it, really built this one on a solid foundation. Even with a 7-5 season, it's pretty incredible. But getting back to Drew, the most physically talented quarterback James Franklin will sign or has signed at Penn State. And I don't know that it's particularly close. I mean, he's got a lot of things going for him. Not only does he have the ability to make plays and stuff, but he's got that size to fall back on, nearly 6'5", 225, 230, a guy that can move around in the pocket, make some throws, throw some guys open, and just really kind of do it all. He's got the mobility and the arm angles and basically every quarterback cliche that you've been throwing out since Patrick Mahomes became a big thing. That's what Drew Aller has been able to do as a high school prospect. Now there's stuff to work on, no doubt about it. Just in terms of accuracy, in terms of, not trying to do too much. He can get away with stuff at the high school level that he won't be able to get away with the college level, but some of those physical tools really, make up for some of those decisions sometimes. So really, really excited to see him blossom because you can't say enough about not only his talent, but the way he's handled himself as a premier, turning from a three-star prospect into a premier recruit.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a perfect prospect, but man, Drew Aller is basically exactly what the doctor ordered for James Franklin and this Penn State football program. I think it's a big reason why you made the splash in getting Mike Yurcich, to put yourself in this kind of a conversation and this kind of a competition, and to get that early evaluation was big for them relatively early in the grand scheme of this recruitment. And then additionally, being able to manage bringing Drew on board, manage his ascension on the national landscape when you know there's negative recruiting going on. He told us there was negative recruiting going on. You've got other coaching staffs trying to convince you that James Franklin's about to hit the road and take Mike Yurcich with him, and you're going to be left with nothing in Happy Valley. And yet they get here with Bo Prabula too. And Bo would have had opportunities had he not committed to Penn State when he did. He already had a few Big Ten opportunities. I know also Ricky Ronnie was quick to offer him down at Old Dominion, but when a kid who grew up wearing Penn State jerseys around the neighborhood playing football commits to Penn State, a lot of the other programs aren't going to invest much time trying to cultivate a relationship with that guy. He did everything he was asked for as a high school prospect. He elevated Central York to a spot that program had never been, including a state championship game appearance in 2020. And when I look at the body of work and what he meant to this group in terms of peer recruiting in the state of Pennsylvania, man, I just feel like a lot of people are so enamored with Drew Aller that they have really quickly forgotten that Bo Prabula is going to come in and compete, and Mike Yurcich is going to eventually see all these guys stand side by side by side by side. And you know, we'll see what kind of gap there is between 1, 2, 3, 4. But I think there shouldn't be as much of a gap between all those positions as there has in the past, because in Franklin's word, the quarterback room got healthier today, and it has become healthier in the last few days with Sean Clifford staying on campus. That's going to be really important for the progression.
Well, you look at it last year, and if you're watching on YouTube, you had Clifford here, then you took a sizable jump before you got to Roberson and the Bayou, and then those guys flip-flopped at the end. Now you've got Clifford here, and you've got guys that can stagger all the way down to that. So you're not going from all the way as your full-blown starter to a guy that's never taken a snap before. You've got a little bit of experience in VU. You've got a lot of talent in Drew Aller, and you've got a baller back there in Bro Prabula. So it's so much healthier just in terms of the potential to find somebody out of this. And it's not guaranteed it's going to be Aller. It's not going to guaranteed it's going to be anybody, but your chances of finding the guy after Sean Clifford significantly higher now than they were 2 days ago before these guys signed.
Question here, and it pertains to the quarterbacks, and we're going to talk about one of our favorites here, is can any of the receivers play early? And I think the easy answer is Caden Saunders. You dig a little bit deeper, you think, what about Amari Evans? And then Tyler Johnson is a wild card who they really liked and were impressed by. Caden Saunders, though, committed in July. He is in the neighborhood of the Ohio State Buckeyes. They did not offer him, but schools like Notre Dame, Alabama were trying to get him on campus this spring for official visits. He didn't do it. He shut it down, and he was a huge peer recruiter. But on the field, he is precisely the kind of playmaker, I believe, that could come in and dazzle you pretty quickly and do the kind of things that remind you of a guy like a KJ Hamler or a Jahan Dotson who's going to be gone. And fittingly enough, James Franklin described Caden Saunders, get ready for it, as a combination of KJ and Jahan. No pressure.
Nothing like setting the expectations really high. By the way, there's a question, is quarterback still a priority for the staff to look at in the portal? It's not. You know, you're getting Clifford back. You're not going to look for another quarterback, especially with what you've got in there. Last year you could have made a strong argument. Otherwise, this year you don't have that. Saunders is a guy. You throw him in the slot, in and out of breaks really quickly, puts his foot in the ground, runs crisp routes. And when you've got what you've got coming back, which is Parker Washington that can play inside out, you can find another guy like Saunders that can also play inside out and hopefully get a little bit more, take that speed, get a little bit more of a downfield threat. You had that with Dotson this year, but you really didn't have that with those other guys. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table, because there's really not a whole heck of a lot in front of him. You've got Parker Washington coming back, Keandre Lambert Smith coming back, Malik Mega we saw at the end of the year. But after that, very much up in the air in terms of guys that are going to contribute. So, and that's a reason that, you know, they're going to look in the portal as well to try and find a wide receiver, because they got to find a guy that can come in, not only come in, but come in and take significant reps and play. So excited to see how those things come to fruition. Saunders, there's a lot to like about it. His high school quarterback situation was much stronger as a junior. He had a really good junior year. And then this year they kind of had to feel it out for a while. They still had some success. You really, really like what he brings to the table. And really this receiver class, getting a little bit clearer with moving driver and Flowers to the other side of the ball. But a guy like Tyler Johnson, while he's probably not going to play early, gives you that athletic profile that you're looking for. Same with Anthony Ivey. And then you've got the fastest guy in the group, which is saying something. This is a pretty fast group, in Omari Evans, who is a complete wild card. I mean, let's be honest with you. He's a high school quarterback. He's going to have to learn how to play wide receiver, but he's fast, man. And that's something that this wide receiver unit could has sorely lacked for the last couple of years.
And Omari Evans put in the effort, made the trip up, worked out for the staff, blew them away with the 40-yard dash time, sub 4.4, and looked, showcased all the ingredients that Penn State is seeking at the wide receiver spot, even though he's playing quarterback for his high school team. And we've seen that happen cycle by cycle. You see Power 5 receivers come out of a high school quarterback situation. But a lot of intrigue there, and especially since he's coming in January. I'd imagine he's going to have some catching up to do in terms of polish. Whereas Caden Saunders, I really like his opportunity to transition, get a head start, and be ready to compete in spring practice. I think at bottom line at this receiver group, Sean, I think you know what you have in Parker Washington, Keandre Lambert-Smith coming along, but it's going to be really fun to see guys like Mega and Evans and Saunders and Liam Clifford and Harrison Wallace going route for route from March through April, because that is a spot I think we're going to see a lot of fluctuation. And you want to talk about health? Those names I'm reeling off, first, second-year guys, that's a pretty healthy situation. We'll see how it pans out.
Yeah, I mean, they need experience. I'm not ready to crown those guys. You know, Parker Washington's proven. Keandre Lambert-Smith is getting there. But all those guys otherwise are unproven. You like the little bit that you saw from Mega at the end of the year. I think they give you something more athletically, and no offense to the older guys from last year, but Cam Sullivan-Brown and Daniel George, you just get something more with Mega and Harrison Wallace and these freshmen coming in. So that's interesting. Another kind of subplot with these wide receivers here. Penn State was able to work some prospects out last summer due to the changes in rules. And I'm hoping, you know, this is something that they're going to put up this year. It's not approved for next year, or it's not approved for 2022 yet. But they work these guys out. They run them through drills. They test them and things like that. So it's like a personalized camp setting. And when you're trying to figure out guys that, you know, are on the line of an offer, you want to see what they have in a personalized setting. They did that with Omari Evans. He ran a 4.32. They did that with Tyler Johnson, ran a 4.47. So these guys really showed out, and you know, you can get stuff out of that. You can get competitiveness. You can get, ball skills or something like, or something along those lines. Omari Evans did not drop a ball when he was.
I mean, Sean, you know what Franklin loves to do. He says, go dump the football on the goalpost. You know, like, yeah. It's something that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all over the place, and that, you know, it's just working out with the coaches, but I think you can tell a lot. They offered and accepted a commitment from Jordan Vanderberg because of one of these workouts. They had him run the ring, and said he ran the ring as well as anybody. He's your scout team player of the year and probably will make an impact next year in the rotation at defensive tackle. So I would love to see these things stay. I know the Penn State staff would as well.
Quick note on Jerry Cross. They list him at 255, 6'5", maybe the mystery man of this class. I know I talked about that at tight end a couple years ago with Tyler Warren. Jerry Cross has kind of been tucked away, and he has not worked as a traditional tight end. He's been out and about, kind of the best athlete in the field role in the offense, didn't have a junior season. And when he committed to Penn State without visiting Penn State, he was about 218, 220. He's pushing 260 now, and he'll be on campus in a few weeks. Just consider that another kind of a fun thing to follow in the tight end room, where you do not need someone to come in and play from day one. So we'll see how it goes with Jerry Cross. Question here is about the offensive line and that class. I mean, Drew Shelton is mentioned. Well, yeah, there's a few. Drew Shelton is mentioned as does he get a shot as a starter? And then you see JB Nelson. JB Nelson, to me, is someone that needs to come in and push for a starting job. I don't know what they're going to do in the transfer portal, Sean, and I don't know where JB Nelson is going to be in terms of competing for it, but it feels like the need is there, and I don't know what Rasheed Walker's decision is still going to be. That's one that still hangs in the balance a bit, I suppose. I don't know what to make of Rasheed Walker at this stage of his career and where his head's at with the decision, but JB Nelson, number 3 overall JUCO prospect for us at 24/7 Sports. I talked to Chris Singletary, who oversees our junior college rankings, last week, and he just feels like the aggression, the athleticism, the length, this guy for JB Nelson. He thinks he could play either side, either tackle position. Wrote about it up on Lions247.com. But long story short is he's the kind of player that you bring in on the perimeter and you say, well, you've had two college seasons and one at the junior college level because of how it went with the pandemic. But are you ready to come in here in January and make it difficult for a guy like Jimmy Crist or a guy like Bryce Effner or a guy like Landon Tangwall to automatically step up because they've been on campus? I think if you can get JB Nelson to at least not come on and take a back seat and at least make you think about it as a two deep component, that's key coming out of the spring, because I don't know what they're going to come out of the portal with, and I don't know where Caden Wallace is going to land. I guess I just don't know much about the tackle spot.
Yeah, that's a good one, because I'm not even sure Nelson's a tackle. You know, he's a guy that can probably play there, but in an ideal situation, he's probably a guard.
You keep saying that about Penn State tackles.
A lot of Penn State tackles are guards. Yeah, and that's what you get. And, you know, you saw what Penn State trotted out there this year, and they struggled because of it. But Nelson's got size, he's got length, athleticism. I'm gun shy to take any junior college offensive lineman and put them in a starting lineup. But we saw what happened when Anthony Wiggins showed up. He definitely needed some time in the weight room under Dwight Gault, and you know, he still didn't get where he needed to be. So I'm curious to see what Nelson looks like. He's reshaped his body, done a really nice job. He does have better length than some of the guys that they've brought in. He's your most realistic guy. There's a question here about Drew Shelton getting a shot to start this year. I think Drew Shelton probably needs a redshirt year before he's ready to go. And also a change with Drew Shelton. He was going to enroll early. Now he's going to enroll next summer. So that's that could throw a wrench into some things, take some time to get that right weight on him. But Nelson is a guy who can, he probably push for the two deep right away, but I'm so hesitant to make him a starter just because we haven't seen a junior college offensive lineman here at Penn State come in and grab it by the horns and go with it. Now, and the other thing to remember about JB Nelson, he's got 4 years to play three. So this is not a situation where you've got two to play two or three to play two, as you do with a typical junior college prospect. So I would lean on the side of no, but I'm more cautious. I know you're a risk taker, a daredevil, and things like that. So we'll see what happens there. There was a question while we're on the offensive line, a question really early on about, did Penn State hit on the positions they need to? Are they positions that they could have done better with? I think the offensive line is the obvious answer here. I mean, you've got Drew Shelton, really good looking prospect, the couple of years down the road. JB Nelson, the junior college guy, maybe pushes next year. And then you got Malik McNeil, who's probably 3 years away from doing anything except for punting and covering punts and leveling tiny little returners in New York State. That's a big question mark. You lost Andre Roy. Andre Roy, not the greatest prospect in the world, but a guy that you could maybe eventually see one day being a Big Ten starter, and we'll see how his career pans out. There just wasn't a ton of them out there. You're going to have to go portal. They've offered Hunter Norzad out of Cornell, and that seems to be the top guy right now. Miles Frazier has an offer as well out of FIU, but you're going to have to go this route. And I believe Andy Frank, Mark Brennan was on with Andy Frank after the James Franklin press conference, said this is basically going to be what Penn State does every year. You're going to have to grab an offensive lineman out of the portal because you're going to need somebody that's been in a weight program and be ready to go.
They've done it a couple times with Lackawanna now. Anthony Wiggins, as you said, joined the program 3 years, got two starts this year. Didn't break through as a starter, though, for you. You got a wide receiver out of Lackawanna, Norvell Black, no longer on the roster. Defensively, you've gotten some safeties there. We'll see if JB Nelson's a hit on the offensive side of the football. And looking at that need and that priority, another question here is, do you think this class is done, or are they saving their remaining spots for 2023? Remaining spot to go to the portal. And when you look at the transfer portal right now, James Franklin, the first position he mentioned when he was asked about, you're coming out of Wednesday, you just signed 23 guys, but what else are you looking for? First thing he went to was the offensive line. He mentioned wide receiver as a potential, quickly went to defensive end, which is, Arnold Ebikade obviously came in and played at an All-American type level for you this year. And then he said defensive tackle, contingent on maybe how some things go. And it's hard not to read into that and say, well, PJ Mustipher has a decision to make, and that's going to really impact maybe what you do there. He also mentioned linebacker, Sean. So linebacker, defensive end, defensive tackle, offensive line, and wide receiver. Aggressive approach last year for the first time really in the transfer portal era, and get ready for it again from the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, I mean, get ready for them to evaluate a lot of guys. They've already done that, and they continue to do that. Like I said, there's a lot of guys in the portal that are in the portal for a reason, and you can't just trust what everybody else does in terms of offering and things like that. So, yeah, offensive line, huge priority. Finding a pass rusher. Maybe, you know, you look at defensive ends, and I know Jared Verse is in there from Albany, but you're looking for a guy that's maybe a little bit different than what you have. Penn State has a lot of those those staunch run-stopping type ends. They need somebody that can get to the quarterback like Ebikadi last year. Linebacker, very interesting comment from James Franklin. I followed up with some people when Franklin said that they have to replace a couple big-time linebackers. What he meant was Ellis Brooks and Jesse Luketa, but I think you can throw Brandon Smith into that mix as well because, you know, certainly the possibility of him leaving is there, and it leaves you very thin at linebacker. They already tried to make a run at the kid from UNLV, whose name's escaping me right now, but were unsuccessful in doing so. He's going to Michigan State, who is taking every transfer under the sun right now. So it's a situation where they're going to have to be diligent. They're going to have to really figure out what they're looking for and not drag their feet and go with it. But I think until then, you know, there's some patience involved here. We talked about what Ebikadi went into the portal just after Christmas. Tangelo went into the portal, I think, on Christmas Day. So there's going to be more that come that way. It's just a matter of finding the right guy.
And at the linebacker position, Penn State, we talked about Jayshon Barham down the final stretch and how he ends up at Maryland, but they end up with a couple guys here. Keon Wiley out of Philadelphia, a strong showing for Penn State across the state of Pennsylvania, and a strong showing by the state of Pennsylvania with this senior group and a lot of guys who are going to play power football. But Philadelphia was a big part of that, getting Wiley on board. Ken Talley early on in the recruitment, linebacker was the focus. You know, in talking with him, it really seems like he understands where Mother Nature has this heading for him as a defensive end. And Abdul Carter is,
man. Yeah.
Yeah. And then talk about a thick guy who looks like he's ready to go and wreck people at the high school level, especially. We'll see how he looks on a Penn State practice field, but Abdul Carter is right where you want a linebacker to be entering your program physically, Sean. And let's face it, linebacker, it's not just, hey, maybe you'll lose someone else from this room. It was thin this year, and they were relatively healthy over the course of this. They had some ejections. They had to mix and match a little bit at certain points, but they were playing with fire this year, and they didn't get burned, but they can't do that again from a depth perspective.
No, they can't. They're young there in their depth in terms of Elston's a redshirt, going to be a redshirt sophomore. Jamari Budden and Kobe King will be coming off of redshirt, so you get a little bit of infusion of numbers there, but you're replacing Brooks. You're possibly to probably replacing Smith. Lots going to be on Curtis Jacobs next year, and that's, you know, falling back, what, five scholarship linebackers? It would not surprise me. Now, number one, they're definitely going to try and go to the portal for a guy, but it would not surprise me to see them try in January with one of those spots available for the 2022 class to try and find a linebacker. I don't know what's out there. I don't think there's a ton, but maybe that's a where you take a chance on an athlete or something like that. I think someone had asked about stashing scholarships. That's a thing of the past in terms of how that works anymore. You're not taking things and moving them to the next class. You're moving them to the portal and just worrying about that 85 scholarship number right there. So from a 2022 perspective, offensive line still out there. From a 2022 perspective, linebackers still out there. And for the most part, portal's probably your focus right now.
We also had a question on special teams returner. Could Omari Evans, Caden Saunders, Tyler Johnson, the receivers factor in there? Sure, I think Saunders gets a head start in everything in the spring. So does Omari Evans. But they've talked about special teams returner as a role with Caden Saunders since they offered him. And as we said, a few of those, you know, both way guys, Driver, Flowers, they were mentioned as returners. Sean, I think it's fair to say in future episodes, we're going to kind of parse through this class in greater detail, go more position by position. But as we kind of put a wrap up on this episode, we'll look at for some final questions. You look through the class, we've mentioned a bunch of names under the radar sleeper types that you like. We heard Cam Miller as a choice from Cooper Patagna earlier. He's a top 24/7 guy, so maybe kind of discluded from this situation. But who do you think maybe everyone generally is maybe looking past a bit today? 2-3 years down the line, it's a different story.
Well, the problem with having what 14 or 15 3 or 4 and 5 star guys is you kind of run out of sleepers. KJ Winston's obviously a guy that I've talked about a lot, been a big fan of his for a long, long time. I will say this. When in talking to Terry Smith, they think a lot of Keon Wiley. They think that he, you know, might be the best defensive player in this class, according to Franklin, quietly maybe the, or excuse me, according to Smith, quietly maybe the best defensive player in this class. That's some high praise right there, because I'm a big Abdul Carter fan. Keon Wiley's got, to me, he's got some filling out to do. But if you can hit on Keon Wiley, that's saying something. So I've typically defaulted to KJ Winston and Tyler Johnson as my sleepers for this class. But Keon Wiley's a guy that when you talk to the more people you talk to, the more your eyes are open to him.
I thought you were going to go Alex Paqueta, the punter out of
easy.
Atlanta.
Too easy. Too
slash,
easy.
And Penn State, slash two, podcast guest.
Two long snappers, by the way, Blaze Sochek, Minnick, and Will Patton. They're walk-ons, but they are as equally important as all these other guys. So just had to get that one in there.
Before you send flaming text tweets at Sean, they are walk-on additions, not taking up those valuable scholarships that I know everyone's concerned about the numbers right now. I'm going to go Bo Prabula, and you know I say this because you know he hasn't cracked that four-star status for us at 24/7 Sports. So you know, they're looking at a guy who comes in as a three-star, juxtaposed against the number one quarterback prospect. And I don't know if it ultimately happens here for Bo Prabula. I know he's going to fight tooth and nail for it to happen at Penn State. This is truly his dream school, about as much as you can tie that phrase to any recruit that I can recall coming to play for the Nittany Lions. But I think he's going to start a significant amount of college football games over the course of the next 4 or 5 years. I think he's too impressive of a component in your locker room and on the field when they get rolling a bit, where it, even if he is not the best quarterback on this team, he'll find the right fit. So I don't want to already talk about transfer stuff, but the fact is, Sean, they have signed two quarterback classes in the past. Those two quarterback classes have not made it to a second season together. And I'm talking about under James Franklin. So this may be an 18-month situation. Both guys are approaching it right. I think Drew Aller, everyone has him as the odds-on favorite to blow up and do something special here. But I think whether it's a Penn State or somewhere else, Bo Prabula is going to be proved to be a Power 5 starting quarterback, and he's going to do it in a really respectful manner, a guy that's going to be a team captain.
Yeah, and you look at you kind of compare him to McSorley. You compare this situation to McSorley when he came in. He was the lower ranked below Michael O'Connor. Obviously, you know, the high school accolades and everything were awesome for both McSorley and Prabula. Heck of a football player. I don't disagree with you whatsoever. I think he's competing with somebody that's a little bit more talented than O'Connor, although O'Connor, you know, was a serviceable quarterback in his own right, in his own career in Canada. That's such a big hill to overcome. But to be honest with you, following Bo Prabula since he was a freshman or sophomore wouldn't shock me in the least.
And you know what? Good point here from Zach. Anthony Ivey does not get nearly enough love, probably. He committed really early. He's a guy who was kind of in the backyard. I think you and I both saw him coming off of his freshman year to camp. We were like, he's going to get offered by Penn State. He'll probably end up at Penn State. That all came to fruition. Buddies with Bo Prabula. You're probably right. He's also not enrolling early, though, which is a big part of what we're saying about Caden Saunders and maybe Omari Evans. So he'll have some catching up to do. But I do think he's a very smooth receiver. And a good point there, Zach. Something that we don't get to do, get checked in live time here on the show usually. Sean, I think that's going to do it for us now. We're going to do our best between now and early enrollment to have a bunch of these guys on. We had Drew Aller on last week, but if you've listened to our podcast here in recent years, you know we do a good job of getting these recruits on campus before they become Penn State freshmen. We're going to try to do that again. I'm not sure when we're coming to you with our next episode. We just dropped one this morning, in fact, with Brian Doan breaking everything down. Sean, I know we're both running out of voice. We're running out of brain power on a long day here, signing day, but kudos to you covering this cycle. Turned out to be a lot more enjoyable than covering that last 2021 recruiting cycle. And the next step is everything that matters. How are we going to talk about these prospects on the post-game podcast next year and the falls to come? Because that's ultimately what determines whether you sign a good class or not.
Yeah, we'll be doing this time next year. Penn State's got a jump on the 2023 class with several commits already there. We'll just change the names and do it all over again next year.
Well, thanks to our producer, Lance Glenn. On behalf of Sean Fitz, I'm Tyler Donahue. Thanks to everyone who joined us live. If you're listening to this later, you can always circle back and check us on YouTube at the Lions 24/7 channel. Nice to engage with some of the audience members. We'll try to come up with this format again sometime soon. Enjoy. Well, signing day is over. Coverage is on lines247.com. We're going to try to find some dinner and eventually bed. Take care, folks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.